second down here from Ray Smith. As you look those things over, are there any questions or corrections that you might have? I know you kept your own notes, and now you're comparing your own notes from these meetings to these notes as well. All right, seeing none, I would encourage you to mark, yes, I'm in favor, to approve the receiving of those minutes, or no, I am not in favor. This will all be collected at the end, and then we'll report to you on these votes. As I said, one of the things that we had an opportunity as a staff to kind of work through and talk about together was what are some of the things that are going on within our ministries and the different aspects of those ministries. As we know, God's been doing a lot of different things here when it comes to our staff. And sometimes all you do is you get to hear from me. So I was like, all right, well, I think it would be good for us to hear from our staff. And they were all really excited about this, right, guys? They were really excited about this. So tonight you're going to get an opportunity to hear from some of our staff. The reason we're doing this at this point in time is because there's some things you're going to hear that have an impact, and some of the things that they're looking towards accomplishing have some impacts in terms of the budget and some of the things moving forward. So we would encourage you to pay attention, and these guys are really, I've been encouraged just hearing them as they've been thinking through these things. So we're going to start tonight with Pastor Paul Foulkes.
Good evening. First of all, I want to say, Lauren, I'm very thankful for the way you have welcomed us back so eagerly, and we're thankful for that. It's been a joy, almost now 4 months, to serve alongside of you, and we're excited to see how God will continue to lead our church as we move forward. I'm excited to be able to take part with the outreach and discipleship, and also with teens right now before we find a youth pastor. And let's move this forward here. One thing that we are excited about is going through this study. In the month of May, I will be taking a four-week Sunday night series going through this book called The Art of Neighboring, and then going through different biblical references to neighboring. And I'm very eager to share that with you. We did that with our church in Utah. And then we will be taking some Wednesday nights in the summer and then a couple of Sunday nights in the summer. We will not meet here as a church body. What we actually are encouraging you through those nights is to do something with a neighbor. It could be a lot of your neighbors doing something together, maybe just having a neighbor over to your home, one neighbor, but just finding unique and new ideas, which we were going through during the month of May, of ways to engage your neighbors. Some of you already have great relationships with them, and so we trust that that would be another way you would then get to know them further and have opportunities for the gospel. Some of you, this may be a first time you've met a neighbor and invited them over, or maybe go to another neighbor and say, hey, how about we do a cookout for our cul-de-sac or our street? And so as we go through that series, you'll find some unique avenues to do that. And so I'm really excited to see how this will work this summer as we engage those who are closest to us in our neighborhoods. And so that series will prepare us for that. And then during the month of May, June, and July, we'll take a couple nights off as a church body to then find out new ways to meet those who are right next to us, who God has put right next to us. I'm also in charge of Upward, and this is the schedule. This will be coming out in the next couple of months as we ramp up toward Upward this summer. We'll be looking for volunteers, as always has been, and then the youth group will also be helping with that on Wednesday nights. But as Pastor John started this, and then as we've seen that grow, this has been a very vital ministry for outreach for our church. And so we're eager and excited again to do this again this summer and to see more and more kids come and then have an opportunity to meet their families as we use sports as a ministry here. The Christmas outreach. This you will see on the budget is a budget increase. And this is one of the things that I am in charge of and over caring for. We're thankful for the many years that we have had the musicale here, but we are going to be going into a new direction with our outreach for Christmas. We call it Christmas at First, and this year, after all that already we've gone through in less than 3 months, we feel it's very appropriate that the theme this year will be Peace on Earth. As we finish up the year, that will be the theme of our Christmas outreach event. It'll be on Friday night and Saturday night, December 9th and 10th. And we want to use the gifts that God has given to our church family. And this church is known for music and drama. And so we want to continue to incorporate those. And so we will be doing that here in this facility here, but then we'll be moving toward the MAC, and on the way toward the MAC, we'll have a live nativity scene there in the courtyard. And then as people finish that, they will then go into the MAC. We will have teams prepared to engage people as they then go in there for food. It's a time of fellowship as we will then have people just making conversation with people and getting to know them, who they are, and we will trust that those will lead to gospel conversations. And so we've observed different churches here in the area who are doing something similar to this. Ours is a little different, but we are very excited to see how God uses a new spin on what we've been doing for many, many years as a Christmas outreach. So pray for the group of people who are already involved in that. We've met several times already, and a lot of pieces that are in play there, but we just feel it's a new approach to reaching our community during the Christmas season. This year, my wife and I, Pastor Derek and Emmy and Riley Parker, will be taking the teens to Utah and to Arizona on the missions trip. And we met just a little bit ago with the teens as we prepare for that. We'll be helping two separate churches there. One is on the Arizona-Utah border in southern Utah. It's a town that is a polygamous town. And a guy that I went to seminary with, he was the first non-polygamous FLDS, they would call them, to move into that community about 6 years ago. Very adventurous family, and I love what they are doing there. And God has really used their ministry, and polygamous families are coming to faith in Christ. And so we are very, very eager to show the teens how God is working through this community. And so we'll be working with them for about 3 to 4 days. And then heading up north of Salt Lake City to help friends of ours in their church plant as well in the city of Farmington as they hold a parade, and then they are looking for different ways to reach their community as well. So the teens will be involved in those new aspects. And so for the teens, we're excited to show them Mormon ministry, how that works there. And you'll be getting letters soon in the mail from the teens raising support for that. So be on the lookout for that. I get to do this for 1 year, so of course we're going to Utah. I got to replace myself and Laura, so we're praying. Actually, I told the teens this, that some of them someday will return to Utah as missionaries and church planters. So be praying for the teens. There's 19 of them and 5 of us leaders as we go July 2nd through 9 of this year. Then lastly, for future outreach, we're just looking for one thing I will say is I am really trying to keep what Pastor John has done in the 6 years he was here for this entire year to see how the church is running. John did a great job with that, and so I want to just see how these ministries have run, but then adding on some things as well. But hospitality, as I shared when I was first introduced to the church, is very key for what we view as ministry and outreach. You know, we were with a family from church this afternoon for lunch, and they were telling us how they've had co-workers into their home, and we love that. That encourages my heart to hear people already doing that. So we want to encourage that. In-home Bible studies, my wife and I will be leading one in our home this spring with several families from the church. And then we're looking to find out what church-wide outreaches can we do. Do we keep the ones we've been doing, or do we pivot and do something differently? And one new ministry, and again, you will see on the budget as an increase, is the counseling ministry. And there are several in the church family who are eager to do some counseling training, and that we would use as a church for those inside the church and for those who are looking for counseling outside of the church as these people prepare for this counseling, new ministry through counseling. Personally, I am looking to get back involved into police chaplaincy and just waiting for the right opportunity for God to open that door. But definitely, as I did that for 7.5 years in Salt Lake, I definitely want to get back involved with that here on a personal level, so I'm waiting for the right door to open. But again, thank you for the way you have welcomed my family, and we're very excited to serve alongside of you.
Well, prophetically, a number of weeks ago, Pastor Parker and I shot what we actually, I think we got nominated for an award for the video that we shot for the Kazbaum farewell service. It was a wonderful video. I know some of you are the ones that have been watching that online. Well, this last week, Pastor Parker and I shot another video because Pastor Parker is not available this evening because he had his youngest by 2 minutes, he said. Chase Parker was married to Devin, and so he was not available tonight. So we shot this great video, and I mean, it would have brought you to tears it was as personable and as wonderful as it could possibly be, and then it didn't want to upload. So I guess this prophetic, we're going to have struggles with videos thing is continuing a little bit. So I am giving Pastor Parker's mini report here tonight. There are a couple things that he just wanted to point out. First of all, just wanted to indicate he's been so thankful for the opportunity just to serve at the worship level. And also, he's very thankful for the choir, seeing the choir back and going, and also the worship team there. He's enjoyed the opportunity to continue that ministry. He had said, as many of us, you know, he was talking about what it was like to fill the big shoes of a little man in Pastor Golden. And he has been thankful for so many that have been helping in that, as he has been having a number of people help him. One of the things that they are looking to do this summer, as a part of something that has happened before, is to actually have one overnight trip, and that is planned to go to the Sight and Sound, Sight and Sound presentation. They're actually doing David, and that is going to be in June, and the plans are in place for that. He said, make sure you start planning for that. There's going to be more information coming out about that. He wanted to give a number of thank yous. There have been many people, he said, that have been helping. Ralph Duffy has continued to help with the trips, and they plan on these trips continuing throughout the years. When it comes to calling and shut-ins, he was very thankful for Brother Angel, who has been doing that for quite a while now, and that has been being kind of a little bit transitioned to Brother Abraham. He was thankful for that, and for Mary Louise Sterrett as well, the help she's been doing when it comes to some meals, some other things, and ministering to the widows. He wanted to encourage you in terms of the long term to continue to pray for the choir. He wants to see that ministry continue to grow. I think he said in the video, there are some of you out there that should be in the choir that aren't, and he is hoping the Holy Spirit will work in your heart. But he has been so thankful for the choir that is there, and we've been thankful to have the choir as well. And he is praying that as we continue to grow, continue to get more practice in that, they will continue to be able to minister. He's thankful for that. And also, he's very excited about the Christmas outreach that will be coming up. As Pastor Paul mentioned, part of the Christmas outreach that we are going to be doing is really interacting with the great job that we do in terms of music and drama, and that will be taking place in here as a part of that outreach that we are doing, and he's been excited and looking forward to that. Someday, you're going to get to see this video. It was amazing. But Pastor Parker also just wanted to say he was very thankful and continues to be thankful for the opportunity to minister in the area of worship and even in working with the seniors here in our church, and just so thankful for the church family he's been able to serve at for, I know we're kind of recording this, but I believe we're going to be getting into this summer 20 years here that Pastor Parker has been serving here as a pastor, and we're very thankful for him. I'm very thankful for him, and he is very thankful for you.
All right, good evening. As I was preparing for this, I was reminiscing that the annual meeting was one of my favorite Sundays, evening services in the year when I was a kid, because it was the only service my parents let me bring a book to church. So about 20 years ago, right about where my mom and my brother and sister are sitting, I was reading The Hobbit there. It's the only time I read a book was during the annual meeting. Anyway, I'm excited to share with you what God has been doing in the children's ministries. It's been a joy to become reacquainted with children's ministries here again at First Baptist. Because of COVID, because of helping Pastor Josh with Junior High Youth Group, I had not been around the children's ministries that had been going on here. And it's been so much fun to be a part of the team here that is serving the children here. They're doing an absolute incredible job. I've been around some churches where their goal is just to let the kids have fun. And you know what? We have fun here sometimes, but it is more important that we are teaching the truths from God's word. And that is what's being done here. Every class that these kids are in, the teachers and the workers, the leaders, they are doing an incredible job sharing the truths of the gospel with these kids. And I just want you as a church to know that. One of my favorite times to be here is on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights, just walking back there in the classrooms, listening to the teachers pour out their hearts to these kids, and just trying to show them what it looks like to follow Christ. If you ever want to not listen to Pastor Dave teach or something, feel free to come back there. It will bring a joy to your soul just to hear and see what's going on back there. So on Sunday mornings during Sunday school, the kids had been working through the Answers in Genesis Sunday school curriculum, and it is some great material. It methodically goes through Scripture over a period of about 4 years. And what I love about it is that it is giving clear apologetic answers to issues that our world is facing today. We are being bombarded by issues of race, gender, issues in science telling us that God's word is not true. And Answers in Genesis, their material really puts a focus on answering some of those questions for our young people. So I absolutely love what the teachers are doing back there, and they're doing, again, an incredible job back there. And then on Wednesday nights, in Grow Kids, the kids this year have been going through the Bible chronologically, the whole Bible in 1 year. And you might be going, what? How is that possible? Well, we're doing big picture, and it's really cool because we are seeing God's redemptive story throughout the Bible and how he's working all things together for his glory. And I've absolutely loved it myself. I am seeing Scripture in a new light with some of these lessons and just seeing the big picture. We get stuck in the details of Scripture, and that's good. We should dig into it, but sometimes we forget the big picture. And it's been good for the kids to see the big picture of Scripture there on Wednesdays. So I have some stats for you, and stats are great. They're good. I don't think we should put all our, you know, hope and trust and faith in numbers and what they are, but it does give an indication of where our church is at. So in college, I went to a good-sized church, actually. They told me when I was in college that an average church in America is about 60 people. So I went to a church of about 110. So it's a big church in America. And in that church, they only had about 10 kids and 3 regular attending families. And that broke my heart as someone who loves children, as someone who loves families. And that was hard to see. And the church was doing a great job trying to reach into their community and whatnot. And those are the people that God had brought. And I am thankful that we have an exciting and a growing and vibrant children's ministry here. And in Sunday school, over the last month, we've been averaging 65 kids each week. And this is just ages 0 to 6th grade. All right, so this isn't including the youth group at all. And what really excites me is on Sunday mornings, we have over 100 kids here each week. That's about what it is. If you want to throw the youth group in, you're looking at over 150 youth just in our building. And you're like, all right, you're not impressed yet. This is what's really, really cool. When we have, you know, 450 people here in this building on a Sunday morning worshiping, that means, you know, 35% of the people here are young people. Versus the church and college that I went to, you're looking at, what, 7, 8%. I think that is absolutely amazing that we have the next generation here and that our teachers, our leaders are training them to grow up and be able to serve in the church. And also what's really neat is that we have over 30 regular attending families on Sunday mornings. And that number could probably be closer to 35. I was pretty strict on what my numbers for these statistics were going to be. I wasn't trying to sway them to look better than what they were. And I think that is absolutely incredible. God's doing some really cool things here when it comes to those things. Children's Church, it has absolutely blown up. When I was an intern, I got stuck. I shouldn't say that sounds really bad, stuck. I had the privilege of teaching Children's Church. And we did not have 18 to 22 kids back there. That's all I'll say. It was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 or 8. And Children's Church is only for ages 4 to 6. And then you got another 20 or so in a nursery every week. So we have a lot of young people. The children's choirs on Sunday nights are averaging over 40 kids each week. Then on Wednesday nights, we're having 60 kids come. And as a parent, I'm quickly realizing it is really hard to drag your kids to church on Wednesdays and be in God's house, you know, with school and work and everything else. I see how it can be very difficult, and I'm thankful for the families that put the priority on having their kids here, and I'm so excited that there are 60 kids here each Wednesday. So some things that I am very excited about coming up is fellowships. My wife and I, we absolutely love these fellowships. We find them very, very valuable to connect with families here in the church. She was just saying at More Than Moms, we're learning what it's like to parent a growing daughter who is starting to develop feelings and emotions that we're not sure what to do with. And we are thankful for the relationships that we have been able to help build through these fellowships, that we're able to go to these people and just ask them, hey, what guidance, what do you have to help us? And we've gotten some awesome advice and putting it into practice, and it's been a huge help to us as we are raising our children. So we got More Than Moms that was started back up by Leanne Donnett this winter, and we are grateful for the 10 ladies that are coming to that. It's a lot of fun to see them come out of the office and just see them fellowshipping in there and learning more from God's Word. We also got some family events coming up here on April 30th. I'm excited to announce that one is going to be an amazing race. So be on the lookout for that sign up. That's going to be a lot of fun. And October 1st, I will have something fun planned by October 1st. But if you can put that in your calendar. Then on Wednesday nights, during Upwards for the younger kids, we're going to be looking through the book of Proverbs. And we're going to be gaining wisdom from the book of Proverbs, what it looks like to be a part of a family, how to respect your parents, and that kind of thing. So I'm very excited about that. We also have Vacation Bible School coming up at the end of July. We had over 220 kids come each day last year, and that was a ton of fun. We are gearing up for that again already, and I'm excited to see what God is going to do. I was praying for, I think, 180 kids last year, and God gave us 220, so we're praying for a lot more, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Cannot wait. I'm also working on updating CAP. Our policy has been great. There's a lot of churches who still have nothing in that arena, so I'm thankful for the work that has been done in that. But as I've been looking through it, we have nothing that deals with the gender issues that are going on in today's culture. So I want to make sure that our policy reflects the current issues, so I'm working on updating that right now. So I never thought I'd be writing policy my first few months in ministry, but here I am doing it. Then the big thing, one of the things that Pastor Dave tasked me with, was just observe the children's ministries. Just see what is going on. And with that, I really want to have a comprehensive scope and sequence of what the kids are going to be learning from, you know, when they start Sunday school, I think 12 months old, through sixth grade. And a lot of that, it's not that what we've been doing is bad, but there's times where I just taught a lesson on Moses in children's church, and then I just found out that they were taught, you know, Moses in Sunday school, and then I also know what's coming up on Grow Kids and are also learning about Moses. So just that there's not as much overlap, and I just want to make sure that our kids have a complete view of scriptures. We want to be a tool, a resource for the parents, and I would love to make sure that these kids are receiving a survey of the Bible, that they're being taught clear doctrine in this. So that is something that I have been praying about, working through. I've looked at dozens of curriculums, looked at what other churches are doing. So if you guys could be praying about that, that is something that is very, very important as our staff, we are trying to shepherd the church. These are some big decisions that I am working through and wrestling through. My wife knows that this is weighing very heavy on me in a good way, all right? Like, this is a very serious thing. So just be praying about that. But I'm excited, hopefully in the next several months, to really begin to roll that out and have a big picture. Again, I appreciate the team here who works with children, whether it's the nursery workers, whether it's the people in Grow Kids, the Sunday school teachers, the helpers. You guys do an incredible job. Thank you for all that you do. As a parent now, I really appreciate what you guys are doing. You guys are just another tool and another resource for my family. And I appreciate that. You guys are doing a great job. Please keep up the great work. I appreciate all the time and energy that you are putting into the lives of the next generation of our church.
When Pastor Dave said that we might have an opportunity to speak, I was like all over that because I enjoy coming up here. It's fun for me to share with you my passion for the facilities and what God is doing financially for the church and the school. So I was excited about that. As you can tell from what Pastor Paul and Pastor Derek both shared, is a substantial portion of our ministries occur right here on this property. And so facilities is a big part of that. And it's important that our facilities look nice, that they're appealing. As I shared with you previously, a couple of my objectives when working out of the facility is that the condition of our facility reflects our view of God and how we maintain it and how we care for it. Second is that nothing in our facility would distract from the gospel. That is that they won't come in and see it filthy, dirty, but they also won't come in and see the overwhelmed, like, wow, that was so beautiful, and that's all they talk about on the way home. I want them to go home not thinking about the facility, having enjoyed their experience, but going home talking about the preaching and the gospel that was set out. So that's my goal, as well as stewardship in what we do here. Now, the big thing that was finished, I know we have talked about it over and over, is the Ministry Activity Center. We celebrated that with a banquet in May, June, sometime. I can't even remember now. But it was a wonderful celebration, and we so praise God for that. It was paid in cash, $1.1 million, by the faithful giving of you guys. And I praise the Lord for that, that is done. It is a great facility. As soon as it was completed, we had sports teams in there. We had the Baptist Mid-Conference in there. We had a VBS going on. I mean, it was just boom. It hit it running. It did not miss a day from the day we got people in there. So I'm excited about that. Some other big projects that we completed during the year. New carpeting hallway over on the educational wing, as well as the stairways. That carpeting was probably about 20 to 25 years old that was over there. And it was really exciting to see that done. We had already painted the walls during COVID when church was down, I believe. And so it was nice to get that new carpeting in, and it's starting to shape up. We've already updated the light in there, and it's really beginning to look nice. And we continue to move forward. And in addition to that carpeting, we renovated the chapel foyer. This was part of the overall chapel renovation that we have talked about, which we have kind of started in the foyer because that was on the low budget end. Didn't take much. We tore out the wall that was there, so that allowed us another probably 5 feet of width in that area. We enlarged the school office, so now the principal's office is actually inside the school office instead of outside the school office, which she greatly appreciates. As well, it will allow us to then put another person in that office, because on that end, at the other end, we renovated this room, which used to be the athletic director's office, which is not needed anymore because they have an office in the Ministry Activity Center, as well as the guidance counselor was in there also. And since we've enlarged the school office, we can now move that person over to the school office. So we were able to take that, really what I call as an underused room, and make it into another larger meeting room for the school. The conference room that they were using, we put our intern in, and so they lost that as well. It was fairly small, and they really didn't have opportunity to meet with more than just a couple in there. If they needed to meet with two families, they were having to go to another room. So this has been nice for that aspect, as well as I know there's been some counseling going on there. Some Grow Kids uses it on Wednesday nights for one of their groups. So it was really nice to be able to update that and to get that going. We're currently also working in the chapel foyer. If you've been over there, there was two bathrooms that was there. There was a men's and a ladies that were very dated and have served us well. But we're renovating that into a family ADA compliant bathroom. You may ask if that's needed, and it is. We do have some families that have come through where it's nice. If you've got a single mom who's got three kids and she needs to use a bathroom herself, does she really want to take all the kids into the bathroom here, or can she take them into the family bathroom? The other issue is that we did have a family once visit. It was a husband and wife. The husband was in a wheelchair, and she said as she was getting a tour of the facilities to see if it was a place they wanted to attend, she asked, well, where can I assist my husband in using the bathroom? And we said, I'm sorry, we don't have a place. And so this will allow us to be able to minister to those folks either. So it will be ADA compliant. There will be the 5 feet. Brother Ken Wells is helping me work on that. So we've taken out the doors that were there. We're going to block in one door, widen the other door to 36 inches to make it ADA compliant. And so I'm excited to see that happen, and that will be the final step in the chapel foyer to finally get that done before we can start working into the chapel proper itself. The next big thing that we did was we renovated this was part of the Ministry Activity Center, but we renovated the connector, the hallway connecting the educational wing and the Ministry Activity Center. It was always very chilly in there, and our builders through Church Care, who helped in the Ministry Activity Center, assisted us in finishing the outside wall of the north wall. So they insulated it and then put the Nova brick up there in the steel so it matches now the rest of the building on the Ministry Activity Center, as well as they came back and insulated the south wall on the inside. So we put up 1.5 or 2 inches of foam insulation and then drywalled over that and painted it. You couldn't even tell that that's been done. So it's much warmer in there than it used to be. So we're grateful for that. Probably the biggest change that we put in there is we put sound panels. I don't know if you guys have ever walked If you've been here, you've walked through there. It is just an echo chamber. It used to be. And putting up these sound panels have just drastically changed that. Probably 80 to 90% of that echo is gone. And so you can actually have several conversations going on in there. It's a much more pleasant space to be in. And we know that there are sometimes banquets in there, gatherings in there. VBS use that as their craft area. And so it's really going to be able to enhance the ministry that we have. So that was another big thing that we did this year. As we look forward to this year, what are we working on? Well, we're going to finish that family bathroom. We want to get that completed. That should be completed in the next couple months. Parking lots, you guys have already approved that last November or December. So we signed a contract for that so we could get on their schedule. But the parking lots, both the north and the south, there's going to be some pavement areas that need to be dug out. There'll be other areas that will be topped off, and then it will all be sealed and then striped again. So we know that there's issues going on there, and we're grateful that we can do that. I did talk with several before we accepted that bid, just because there was a question about this, about what is the greatest need out there. Do we need to mill off the whole top of that or not? And all the paving companies that I talked to said there isn't a need. You have a great base here. You just need to deal with the issues that are on the top, fix the areas that are falling apart, and you should be good. And that both of these parking lots should last us for a good number of years left. Educational wing, you guys also approved that. The second floor renovations that are going on there, so we're going to be renovating. The bathrooms will be a total gut. We'll have all new bathrooms, so they'll look very similar to what's downstairs in the educational wing. The youth room's going to get a complete overhaul, new lighting, new flooring. Some of the other classrooms will be painted. The hallways will get new carpeting, so it's going to look, we'll update all the lighting to LED. And so we're excited about that use, not only for the school, but also the church and the ministries that are going on up there, and it should really enhance what we're able to do there. And again, we don't want our facility reflects our view of God, I believe. And so that's part of this renovation. I forgot to mention another project that we did last year. We waterproofed the choir room. So those of you who are in choir or have a Sunday school classroom down there, the musty smell is gone. Praise the Lord. So that is taken care of. We were have water was coming through the block and getting the carpet wet, and it was very damp down there. So we're grateful that that is done. And then we also replaced the ductwork on three air handler units on the school side at a cost of $45,000. So we got three down, only 10 more to go over there, and we're working on that. The other thing that we just did in the last couple weeks is we added those same sound panels that we put in the connector. We added those into Fellowship Hall. And if you were here for the reception for the wedding yesterday, it was extremely pleasant in there. It wasn't overly loud. You could have multiple conversations going on. You could hear the person next to you. And so that was great. So if you're in there for another banquet or any activities, even Sunday school, Pastor Dave's a little worried he's going to have to yell at you, the senior adults, now because you're not going to be able to hear them. But it was exciting to see the transformation there. So we'll be doing the renovations on the second floor. I have ordered all of that product except for some wood that's needed, some plywood that I'm waiting on a quote for. I suspect that we're probably going to be $10,000 to $15,000 under budget on that project. We have budgeted $70,000, and I wanted to get that done so we could get everything ordered. If you go through, again, through the connector, you'll see this whole corner of supplies, and that's all going up there. All of our bathroom supplies are in and stuff. So excited about that. And then finally, we're working on the church side. We've updated the HVAC controls on the school side, and they're also upgraded in the Ministry Activity Center, so they're compatible there, and we're working on doing that in here, which really helps us save our utility costs by doing that. Our system is dated. We can't even get new thermostats or parts for some of the controls that we currently have, so we're looking at upgrading those step by step, unit by unit. We won't do it all at once. But what are we looking at in the future? So this is this year, and what's the future look like? We've got some projects that are coming up. Chapel renovation. As you know, phase four of our Greater Things campaign was either the chapel renovation or finish the balcony. The chapel renovation is what's really needed. That has served us well, but I believe that carpeting is original to the building and looks like it. It really needs some help. It is used daily. The chapel is used daily by the school. It's used on Wednesday nights. It's used for grow kids. It's used on Sunday for a Sunday school class. It gets a lot of use, and we're looking to do that renovation. May or may not. I put some dates in here. Don't hold me to these because everything is up for discussion. But I'd love to be able to do that next summer. The big holdup will be funding. I'm guessing I've gotten some quotes, rough quotes, as I've talked to different vendors for lighting and sound and carpeting. We're probably looking at $250,000 to $300,000 to do it right. And that's not a Taj Mahal. That is doing the same thing that we've done throughout the facility, using good stewardship to buy the best materials that we can to present a nice facility. So that would be 2023 on the wish list. The next large expenditure that I would see is the north face of the educational wing. If you come in, it looks nasty. It really needs a good cleaning, but there is also some of those. The stucco panels are starting to separate from the concrete block, and it's been that way for a few years, so we know that needs to be done. I had gotten a quote. We were probably looking at about $150,000 to finish that off, and we would most likely finish that off to look the same appearance as we have on the south side of the Ministry Activity Center. So with the Nova brick going up through the center and steel on the sides of that, and then the Nova brick all along the bottom. So it would look really nice, possibly 2024. 2025, as we move forward, believe it or not, we've been in this facility in 2025 for, what, 23, 24 years. And this carpeting is that old. These pews are that old. So I'm not looking to replace the pews, but definitely the carpeting needs to be replaced. It's starting to get worn. There's some issues with the concrete out there that's heaving that we need to deal with, but we have to pull up the carpeting to do that. So we're not looking at any major renovations, just basically replacing the carpeting, doing a few updates and improvements in the foyer, and just painting out there and stuff. So Lord willing, 2025, we may be able to get in that. It may happen sooner. Again, we don't know what's going on with that, but we're looking forward to do is I look in the long term, what is needed at the facility, these are the glaring things in my mind that need to be addressed. And I work with Buildings and Grounds through all of these to set the agenda on that. Another thing that's come up is an endowment. I've been working on this for probably on and off for a year, as time allows, and took it to the Buildings and Grounds, and they said, yeah, let's pursue that. Took it to the deacons, and they said, yep, let's pursue that. Bring us some more information. So what an endowment, I got this very technical definition off of a university's website, a pot of donated money that is invested to create a reliable stream of annual income for a charitable purpose. And you say, why do we need an endowment? Well, there are times that it sure would be nice to have some extra income. It'd be nice to be able to say, hey, we need this much money to do a renovation, or we want to start a church plant in downtown Elyria. Maybe we could use it for that. Or we want to start this special outreach or to use for that. But an endowment is a long-term vision. An endowment won't benefit us. It won't benefit my children. It probably won't even benefit my grandchildren who are here. But we're looking at long-term, 50, 60, 75 years that we can plan ahead, that we can be good stewards of what God has given us and set aside some funding little by little. We're not sure how it's going to be funded yet, working through that. But we can set that aside. And then it can be used by future generations to pursue the gospel of Jesus Christ in the community. We kind of already have some endowments. We don't call them endowments, but we have trust funds that have been given to the church that have been sitting here for many, many, many years, earning 0.005% in a money market. So I think trust funds earned less than $2 this past year. So they're not earning much money, but if we could take some of those and invest them in some type of an endowment investment vehicle, it would be very beneficial to do that. Another example of trust funds would be the Art Dyke Scholarship Fund that Brother Dyke set up, again, many years ago. He was a gentleman at our church who never married, who never had any kids. His family was faithful here. He was an entrepreneur. When he passed away, he left money to both the church and the school. So there's $77,000 to $80,000 sitting there in his fund that we have invested in CDs that earns a minimal amount of money that's used for scholarships for people going into the ministry. Another example of an endowment that we would have on the school side would be the Wolfley Scholarship Fund. Again, we don't call it an endowment, but Charles Wolfley was a student who was here in the 80s, or no, actually the 70s. I think he graduated in 1980, and he had cancer. And one of his goals in life was to graduate from high school, and he did that. And I think he passed away within 12 to 18 months after he graduated. And in his honor and his memory, his parents set up this Wolfley Scholarship Fund, Charles Wolfley Scholarship Fund. And so those monies have grown a little bit. There's like $22,000 there that is with in his STEPS foundation that we use. And the school the last few years has pulled out $1,000 or $1,100 to supplement the general fund. So that's kind of the long-term vision that would be there for that. So we're looking at an endowment, not sure, again, how it's going to be funded, working through that process. There's actually three policies that I'm working on that go with an endowment. The first is the investment policy. How are these funds going to be invested? What are they going to be invested in? What kinds of stocks, if stocks? What kind of mutual funds? What CDs, U.S. Treasuries? What is that going to look like? So I'm working through that. What is the withdrawal policy? How much money can be taken out? When can it be taken out? And then finally, what is the usage policy? What's it going to be used for? Can it only be used for scholarships for the school? Can it only be used for building projects? Can it only be used for planting churches or outreach? Or can it just be part of the general fund and let the church every year decide what's the best use of that? That's kind of where I lean. So those are three policies that I'm working on. I'm working with Buildings and Grounds through this process and then go to the deacons. And once that is finally approved, we will certainly come back and let people know how to fund that. There are individuals who would like to give to an endowment. Some people like to do that through their estate when they pass on. And so we're looking at those opportunities to see where God will lead and how he'll provide. All right, and I'll be back up in a little bit, talk by financials, which I thoroughly enjoy too.
You guys are giving reports like I preach. You're going to have to think about that for a moment. Just for my report, and I just wanted to update you on some things. You've heard me say this before. One of the ways that I try to view ministry and think in terms of ministry is there are three areas that are very much interconnected. If any of these areas there's an adjustment, the other two areas are affected. One area is in the area of staff or people. The second area would be in facilities and finances. And that third area would be in terms of ministries or outreach. And if there's a change in any of those three areas, the other two areas are affected. If you're going to add a ministry or an outreach, you're going to need people. You're going to need facilities and finances and all of those type of things. And so that's the way that I've tried to think a lot in terms of these things and even trying to think through. In other words, you got to have, if you're going to do something as a church, you need to have people to do it. You need to have a place and something to do it with, and you need to have something to do. And those three things kind of help me think through these. And so even as we have a night of an annual report and you hear all these different things, I would encourage you to be praying for the people, praying for these facilities and even the funding to be able to do these things, and then for the ministries and the outreach that God does in particular for me. So that's kind of the way that I've tried to think through these things. I try to think in terms of the near and the far. One of the things that we're working through is when it comes to church is when it comes to staffing as a student ministries pastor, as you may have noticed, there's a lot of staff change that has gone on here. I wrote down these words. There has been a lot more staff adjustment than I anticipated coming in here as a pastor. I love our staff. If these first months are an indication of what is ahead, I'm very encouraged with the camaraderie, with the hard work, with the spirit, with the commitment to invest into the church body. So in terms of the short term, I would like to introduce you, our new youth pastor. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have a new youth pastor. I'm a ways away in terms of that. I've had an opportunity to meet with a couple of what I'd call first round prospects and just trying to work through the possibilities, a number of them that I have a possibility to follow up with. I would encourage you to pray for me. A number of you say, I'm praying for you, Pastor Dave. Just pray for the continuation of the patient, prayerful search. The Lord has been getting me used to a patient search. The months being from myself going through the months being on the other side as a candidate, and now after a year of searching, considering filling a position in terms of those, in terms of these different positions that have been taking place here. So we're in this process here. In the short term, obviously, when it comes to the school, I'm looking forward to integrating Mr. Nagengast. Some of the other things that we're working on currently myself right now is some new teacher hires, some staffing adjustments. We're really prayerfully considering and looking forward to this next year having an expanded schedule when it comes to our junior hires and senior hires. And so looking forward to all of those things. I'm looking forward also to not doing those things sometime in the future as well. But I'm very thankful for all that is going on there. When it comes to the future, as was mentioned, we have been prayerfully talking about, and Pastor John and I were working through this and working with some individuals and some couples within our church. And now Pastor Paul and I are working through this about trying to develop as a church a really good counseling team and counseling ministry. As you can imagine, the counseling needs and the counseling load for us as a staff and us as a church can be a lot. And we want to do more to invest into that, to invest into, in my opinion, counseling is discipleship. and to do more on the discipleship, especially sometimes in the crisis areas that can come up in terms of counseling. The other thing that I'm looking to do as we continue to move forward is to take care of my staff that God has given us. My staff, as pastors, I want to see them grow. I want to take good care of them. I want to see them develop. And that is something that God has really burdened my heart with. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity and the challenge. I had the opportunity to serve on the staff here and to be cared for and to grow and develop. And I want to see that continue to happen with our staff. In terms of the facilities and finances, I'm just going to let Chris do everything. Well, no, not exactly. But I love having Chris here. He's such an important part of this. But for us to think in terms of stewardship, what has God given us? How do we do a good job in terms of upkeep? How do we properly use these facilities? As all of us have known, there's always challenges of, do we have enough classrooms? How big are the classrooms? What's going on in that? What happens as we continue to grow? Should the Lord allow us to continue to grow? How do we deal with any growth or expansion? Even thinking in terms of the school, right? There's a max amount we can have in certain classrooms. We have so many classrooms we can handle this many, so many classrooms we can handle this many, and even to how to properly use the facilities that God has given to us in the near and the future. Now, when it comes to our ministries and outreach in the near, one of the things that you probably saw if you received our email that went out, one of the things we're going to be doing here in the month of April and May is starting a series that we're calling Theology at First. Here in April and May, we're going to be going through Theology 1 for about 6 weeks. This is a video series. It'll be about 40-minute long video and 20 minutes of discussion. This particular one, Theology 1, is being done with Dr. Jeremy Kimball from Cedarville University. So we're trying to figure out what time to do these things, and as you know, there's no perfect time. So we're going to be doing it twice. We wanted to call it Doctrine and Donuts for the morning session, but then I realized we could have donuts in the evening as well. But so the two times we'll be doing that is at 6:30 on Tuesday mornings and 6:30 on Thursday evenings. That's going to happen in the month of April and May. We're going to do this in kind of two-month cycles, and we'll take a month or two off, and we'll slowly work our way through those. As I said, it's going to be a time. Everybody's invited if you want to go online. It was on that email if you want to sign up, or if you say, well, I don't use the online sign-ups, we can get you a sign-up as well for that. We're going to just have an opportunity to watch a video on theology, growing our understanding of Scripture, and then have a time of discussion afterwards. It'll be 60 minutes, and it'll be for this one, first round will be about 7 weeks of that. I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to grow, kind of resharpen a little bit in terms of rightly dividing the word of truth. We've already mentioned the Christmas outreach. That is something coming up here in December. We are looking to do a better job and continue to build on what we have done to reach into our community to provide something that can be invited to, something that can be used by God, but also something that will directly result in having gospel communication and gospel interaction. So we would encourage you to be praying about that. Please pray for the team that God has put in place in terms of that. As Pastor Paul mentioned, in-home outreaches, neighborhood nights, and to be learning how to do a better job of reaching into the lives of our neighbors. But also some of the things that we want to see happen for us as a church is, how do we do a good job of caring for each other, fellowshipping with each other at a little bit smaller basis? That can happen in Sunday school, that can happen in homes and things like that. So that's some of the things that we're looking at when it comes to the short term. In the far term, we've already kind of figured out, I think we've got the date set for our missions conference in 2023. One of the most exciting times for a pastor is when you get your first yes on a missions conference. And I got my first yes, and I'm really excited for the couple that's coming in. We got two other missionaries that we're looking to seek to have that. So I'm looking forward to having our missions conference back on track. One of my prayers, and the guys know this, is I want to see us do some adult missions trips. And you're like, well, that sounds like a youth thing all over again. Well, a little bit, but I think we as adults maybe need to go out and do some ministry as well. So I'd like to see that pick up. So I'm praying that God will give us some direction in terms of that. And the other areas, I really am praying that God will allow us to do some discipleship and some leadership development when it comes to developing leaders within our church, and even the development when it comes to our deacons and things like that. I'm very excited for all these different areas, and I'm really excited about what's coming up this year, but also what God is doing ahead. So I'd encourage you to be in prayer. So that's kind of like a verbal future report. But I do want you to take out that annual report there, if you would. One of the things that we do in a business meeting is we approve the annual report as received. So you see that as motion number 2 there. And this approving the annual report as received. I need a motion and a second to approve this report as received. Brother John Milam back there, Brother Ken Kincaid here. Any questions or adjustments? We'll have to take it back to the printer, but I want to encourage you to take advantage of this. It gives an opportunity to pray and an opportunity to remember, even for our staff putting it together, just to be reminded of all the things that God has done. We are very thankful for that. So I encourage you now to take that motion. You can vote yes, you are in favor of receiving, or no, you are not in favor. Again, all these motions will be turned in. You'll fold it in half when we're done, and we'll collect those there at the end. Next up is our church financial report. I'm going to have Chris come back up here, and he talked about the future. Now we're going to have him talk a little bit about this last year.
It is exciting to see how God has provided for our church and school this past year. I take my job very seriously, is that God has put me as a steward of the finances and overseeing that, but as well as the building. And I think when you look at that as a stewardship, that God will hold me accountable for what is accomplished here, what is not accomplished, it makes it more personable. I take it very seriously in our facilities and how they're kept, as well as the finances. I wanted to make sure all of you had a book. That's why I was wandering around, because inside that book, you will find the financial report. And I'm going to refer to that. I don't have any slides for this, but I'll be referring to this report, calling out numbers. So I wanted to make sure everybody had that. Before you get there, on the very back of the annual report, I just want to point out, this will be the last time you see this number, last time we probably talk about it. The Greater Things campaign, total giving, a little over $2 million, almost $2.1 million. I remember sitting in deacons' meetings saying, man, can we reach 1.2? Can we do 1.3? Let's be brave and go for 1.4 or 5 or 6. And then it was like, oh, what's this going to devastate our general fund income? We can't do that. And I want to say, our general fund giving was not affected by this. I think every year but one during the campaign, it increased. Yeah, praise the Lord. And God has been good. You guys have been faithful. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for Pastor Odo's leadership during that time, because paying off that mortgage was huge in being able to do what we're doing around our facility, as well as an outreach currently. And so that's an exciting number for me. I'm grateful for that. If you would open up to page 2 and 3, I'm going to kind of go a little different this year. I want to start out with the missionary budget, because that's a subset of the general fund, and then I'll go into the general fund. Our missionary budget hasn't changed too much. I just want to review the process for this, though. Usually it starts out that we contact the mission agencies that we support, and we ask them to let us know, for the missionaries that we support with your agency, can you please provide us what their total, what their annual need is, how much of that is being met, and what the need is. And so then we take that and we start to review those and see where can we start to assist. If somebody is already getting 100% of their need or over 100%, we don't want to continue to increase that necessarily. So we want to make sure that those who are still raising support, still need additional support, or under-supported, are getting what they need. And so there's a few changes that are here from last year, and I'm just going to point out the changes. The first one is count number 5212, and that's Jimmy Stevenson. He is with Church Care. He is one of the builders who was here with BCP helping us on our Ministry Activity Center. We took him on at $150. I think he's a little over 60%, believe it or not. He has raised his support, I think, fairly quickly for being a builder, and we want to increase him by $50 a month to $200 a month. Down under BMM, account 5318, Mark Stipp. Mark had been an Air Force pilot, I believe. He retired from the Air Force, went into missions, raised his support, was down in Cuba, went over to Spain, and has retired now from the mission, resigned from the mission, and is pursuing other ministries at this point. And he no longer has a need, so we put him down as retired, and so there's no funding for him. 5322, Michael Vanek. He came in as being under-supported as we looked at his. He is one of our own. He is sent from our church. We want to get him up to where he can be fully supported. So we're increasing his support up to $9,000 a year, which is an increase of $125 a month. Paul Folks, 5332. We brought him on staff, so we took care of him. So he doesn't need any additional funding. And then on the page 3, Heath Bobbitt, 5909. I don't know if he passed away or what, but they sent us a letter saying they no longer needed any additional support. So we have zeroed that out. And then finally, if you look down the very bottom there, it says available for new missionary. There's no account number there, but there's $11,160. And I know Worship and Evangelism, Pastor Dave, are working on reviewing who can we bring on this year. as new missionaries, what areas of ministry do we want to get to around the world? And so they're looking at that to be able to use those fundings. We wanted to keep our giving percentage to missions the same. So as we raised our church budget, we wanted to make sure we increased our missions budget by that same amount. So you'll see that it stays the same, 11.68%, 11.68% for this year, so that we continue to move forward, continue to be faithful to our missionaries. And so we're working through that. Any questions on just the missions budget overall? I'd be happy to entertain those now before I get to the general fund. Brother Abraham, oh, they're bringing... Sam's got a microphone for you.
Yes, as I was looking through this, I made a note on the ones that are retired, and you just mentioned Heath Bobbitt,
mm-hmm.
and you took away that monies that you were giving to him, that $300 a month. And my question was, I just kind of highlighted, we got 7 others that are in the list. And as retirees, how much longer will we continue to support them?
That's a good question. I think it goes back to the history of missions and how missionaries used to be supported. They were not, in days of old, encouraged to set aside money for retirement. And so a lot of these retired missionaries who are older don't have any additional funds. Some of them opted out of Social Security, so they don't have any other formal retirement available to them. So that's why we have continued to support them. Currently, I know Baptist Mid has this policy. Baptist Church Planters has this policy. As part of their annual support, they have to set aside a certain amount into retirement. So like when you see Mark Stipp, he would have a certain amount set apart in retirement as he goes to other ministries. He doesn't need anything. And so I think you'll see that change. If we find out these retired missionaries don't need those funds, we certainly would not provide them anymore. But that's my understanding of how things have gone. And so we still want to be faithful to those who are faithful to the Lord's work until they're home. Continue to provide for their needs. All right. If no other questions, let's go to the front page. General fund giving. We'll look at the first column there. Our actual giving was $1.26 million. That is an increase of 1.8% over last year, approximately $22,000. To me, again, it just shows the faithfulness of God's people in giving. As we get down to payroll expenses and looking at our current year budget, we did do an analysis as I go through and prepare and work up those numbers, and then that's reviewed by Pastor and the compensation committee that is established. We do look at national averages for pastors. We look at what the cost of living increase is for our retirees that the government gives, as well as what is our national inflation rate. So we take all of that into consideration as we determine what percentage of increase is going to be for staff and pastoral staff. Currently, it's going to be depending on what the position is, anywhere between 5 to 7% is the increase that we'll see. If you know what's going on in the world, you'll see prices are going up and up and up. So that was very reasonable, if not enough for our staff at this point. In the payroll for the proposed budget for 22-23, it does include money for a full-time youth pastor starting as of March 1st, which we know we're not going to need, as well as full benefits for that position. As we get through into the ministry budget, just so you know how that process works, I usually provide our pastors with a three-year analysis of what their actual spending has been and what their average is for those 3 years, as well as what the budget has been for the past 3 years. They submit a budget. I review that. I work with them if there's questions, and we try to forecast what ministry changes are there going to be. So as you heard from Pastor Derek and Pastor Paul, some of these additional changes with counseling and ministries, those are included in the ministry budget changes. So they review that. I review that all with Pastor. Then it goes to the appropriate committee. If it's the facilities, that goes to buildings and grounds, worship and evangelism handles the other aspects of that. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. The biggest change that you'll see is account 4550, FBCS support, was reduced from $55,000 down to $25,000. As we get into the school budget, you will see that they don't need that extra $30,000. The school did very well this past year, and so we're excited about where God is leading in that, but that's the one big change in the ministry. aspect. Under buildings and grounds, there are some changes. Under utilities, we increased that due to the Ministry Activity Center and the additional heating and air conditioning that's going on over there. Our property insurance, I did a full review after the Ministry Center was completed, had our insurance agent come up, review all of our facilities to make sure that we had sufficient coverage. We did not, and so we see an increase in there. We went from $10 million up to a $20 million facility coverage for that. Our buildings and grounds count 9,000. If you look at our actual for this year versus the budget, we were over approximately $10,000, $12,000. All I can say is snow plowing is very expensive. We spent approximately $30,000 last year on snow plowing and salting. And it's hard to find people to even get bids on that. I've worked through that with buildings and grounds, and it is what it is. So we have increased that a little bit in this year's budget. But it is expensive, and that's primarily where it happened. I think it costs $300 to $400 to get our south parking lot plowed one time, and sometimes it has to get plowed two, three, four times if it's snowing all day long because we got school in the morning, you got school dismissal, you got a Bible study going on in the evening, you got a basketball game going on in the evening. And so by the time you plow it and then salt it on top of that, it becomes very expensive. And so we're doing what we can to control those costs and not doing the north lot during the week and so forth. But it is what it is, and it's expensive. It's a facility, and it's a part of doing business. And then finally, under reserve funds, we have the capital reserve fund. We've increased that up to $120,000 from the $114,000. Again, we have some major projects that are coming up, so we want to continue to save toward that. The capital reserve fund is used for major renovations, such as the chapel, for the parking lots, for the second floor educational wing. All those that are big ticket items is what we use that capital reserve for. And then we have our general fund reserve, which is kind of our, I don't want to say a rainy day savings, but it's your emergency savings that we have. But we started that a few years ago. And so if the general fund gets in desperate need of money and there's not enough in there to make salary to pay the bills, we can tap into that general fund reserve as our emergency fund to transfer that money over and to pay those bills. Our budget increase from last year to this year is 2.4% overall. And if you look at the very bottom there, our general fund balance started out at $72,818, and then we did have our expenses exceeded our income for this year by almost $34,000, so it's at $39,000 in the general fund at this time. We are working diligently to control our costs. I just know from a facility standpoint, I was doing some statistics, and that a general maintenance on average for a facility of our size should be $2.25 to $3.50 per square foot is what you would budget. Currently, we're at about $1.30 a square foot. So that's sometimes why we struggle. We just don't have enough funding for that. Utilities, we're right on the mark. Industry average is $1.25 to $1.50 per square foot. We're at $1.25, so I'm real good there on that. But we're continuing to make upgrades to get our expenses down. LED lighting I've been able to see a decrease in our electrical bill because of the amount of LED lighting that we have installed throughout the facility. And we've got more lights, just ordered 80 more lights. So we've got those going in this summer. So we continue to see that increase, along with the upgrade to the HVAC. That has helped. On the school side, it used to be somebody comes in on Friday afternoon, oh, it's really cold in my room, and I turn that thermostat up to 75, and it sat there at 75 all weekend long. And so right now we can control that in-house where if it's adjusted manually, it only sits there for an hour, and then it reverts back to where it was. At 8 or 9 o'clock, everything resets to unoccupied. So that has really been able to save us and help us. Again, it comes down to stewardship. It helps us be good stewards of what God has given us, not having that equipment run all the time, not spending that money when it doesn't need to be spent. So we are working diligently on all those things to try to make our budget balance. And so you want me to take the motion? You want to come up? We'll get the motion made and then be happy to answer any other questions once it's on the floor.
All right, if you look at your ballot there, first for the financial report and school financial report, that's motion number 3 there. You need to take a motion and a second. Motion Kent Eiler, second Terry Brunger. Any questions you might have on the financial report side? We'll do the budget in just a moment. This is the first part of that, the financial report side in terms of what God was doing. Go ahead.
$65,000 square feet in our whole facility under roof. Keith Beller.
had a question about where do we track funds that come in from Keystone, the soccer club, weddings, showers, parties, when we collect funds for various church events that are on premise, maybe it's a potluck or whatever.
Yeah, good question. If it's a church-sponsored event, that would offset the related expense line. So such as there's a junior high retreat that goes on, a senior high retreat, they go away, there's expenses involved, all that income would offset that expense. If you're looking at something that's outside where we charge a facility charge, such as if somebody wants to use it for a private birthday party, the Ministry Activity Center, and we charge them $50 for that time, that is under general fund giving. And that really is, other than Baptist MID, it's a minimal amount. It's probably less than $1,000 is what comes in for that. Keystone funds for...
Yeah, I mean, we collect funds from various, from several different...
Keystone School, local school district?
When
we don't
use,
collect
when use
any funds other than... Yeah, we don't collect any funds from them.
When they use the facilities for graduation?
No, we don't collect any funds. We don't charge them for that. We do that as a ministry to them. We don't. If they want to give us something, they have in the past occasionally. It's usually been $200 or $300. That would just show up under that. But we don't charge them formally. Been a long meeting. We still have a school report to go. He came in my office on Friday, popped his head, and says, "How's it going?" I'm up to page 5 in my notes. So.
All right. Well, you have the ballot in front of you, so you can mark yes, you are in favor, or no, you are not in favor in terms of approving the church financial report and the school financial report. We've walked through budget. So you've indicated your vote on number 3. Now we're on number 4 for the church budget. So I need a motion and a second. Terry Brunger, and I see Wilcox. Oh, Jen Wilcox, sorry. All right, motion and a second. Any questions on church budget side of things? All right, start one here. Brother Beller, I see you're behind Ross, but I don't know who's back. Oh, Jen, okay, good.
Being new, I was just wondering, what is the 11%, is that what we typically give for missions just across the board, the 11% of our proposed budget? And does that get adjusted for actual at the end of the year to keep within that percentage?
It does not get adjusted. It is the straight 11.7%. We didn't set that number. It wasn't any magical number. It's kind of like where we were. We wanted to at least continue. We didn't want to go less than that in our budget. What happens, since the general fund is actually a separate checking account, I take that whole missions budget, the $161,290, I divide it by 12, and I transfer that every month. So if that money isn't used, it still sits in the missions fund, and it's available, such as if you look on the missions report, there's account 5953 other, and there's $3,100 in there. We had extra funds in our missions fund. We weren't taking Sunday school offerings. We use that as a Christmas offering for our missionaries this year. And so those monies are set aside specifically. Then over here,
Jen
Mang.
Yeah, I just had a question for clarification with the church budget. So we want to offer ministry to Keystone to use our facility, so we don't charge them. But our members, do we have a fee sheet? For example, for when we need to use the church for personal, like weddings, showers, because I guess I was thinking that was, as members, the church is here to serve its members, and we should be considering that ministry to our own people without charging them, since we pay tithes and we serve the church in many ways. So I'm just wondering, like, is there a fee sheet for members for using the facility that we love and care for?
Yeah,
I'm confused.
I think it's a good question. Buildings and Grounds has worked through that. I've worked through that with them a number of years ago. And for wedding showers, for baby showers, if our whole church is invited, there is no fee for that. We consider that as part of our ministry. Where a fee is charged if somebody has a private birthday party, it's not open to the church as a whole. It's like, I'm just going to have my own family reunion here. I want to have a birthday party for my family here. And so they're using that. So that means I've got to call staff in to help either set up, sometimes clean up. People say they'll always clean. They never clean the bathrooms. So we don't go there. So the minimum that we charge is that we set aside for an event like that is $50. If they're going to be here longer, depending on what they want to use, if they want to use Fellowship Hall and the Connector and the Ministry Activity Center for 4 hours on a Saturday, that fee is obviously going to go up because I have more staff here to help care for that. There's more utilities involved. So it's really only those private, non-church-sponsored events that there's a fee charged for. And that's just really to help cover our costs. Debbie Wagren.
Hey, I just have a quick question because I might have missed something. Melissa Witcher we have down here that we support for $1,200 a year. And it says Texas. She doesn't live in Texas. But doesn't she have a full-time job?
Yeah, this happened late in the year, this last year, so it's something that we're under review in terms of one of the things, even kind of referring to the retirement, oftentimes we try to work with the ministries that are their heading ministries. They give us a recommended amount in terms of support. So that's one that we've actually worked with evangelism that has come up. It's just we want to take our time and make sure we review it, obviously, with Dave and Melissa. But they just changed here just a number of months ago, and so trying to get an update. I actually got a chance to see Dave Witcher. He was driving. I was like, are you allowed to drive? He goes, absolutely. And I saw him out there in Iowa. And so we're looking forward to kind of getting that figured out as she is just now serving at Faith Baptist Bible College. Yep. Back here, Brother Simmons, back there. Oh, man, my eyesight's still pretty good.
Just had a question, not to micromanage or what exact amounts go to what things, but we've put a lot of money into the facility. We invest a lot into our people, our missionaries, that sort of thing. We have no organ on Sunday morning to worship. Is there any money being set aside for that?
For the organ? The organ is functioning. The organ is fully functioning. We got a chance just to use it here in the wedding on Saturday. There are a couple things that need to be looked at in terms of that. It's a little bit older, and so we're trying to find. We had the person who did upkeep on the Rogers out of Toledo who is no longer available. I've got a couple of leads actually on terms of someone to look at that. But the organ, it is working and is available, and we want to be able to use it.
Okay, because I haven't heard the organ in a long time, so that's why I thought something was wrong with it.
Amen. Well, okay. we want to hear the organ be used here, and it's ready to go.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, you've got the motion there. We'd encourage you to vote yes or no there on motion number four. Motion number five is our school budget. We need a motion and a second. We'll take any questions for that. Brother Kimmel? Brother Brunger? All right, questions on the school budget? Oh, go ahead.
I'll present it first.
Present the school budget.
Let me present
Sorry.
First here. Okay. School budget, I work with, obviously, the school committee on this, work with Pastor Dave. We did seek a little bit of input from the new school administrator as to what his goals are and objectives, and so that's all incorporated in that. Let me just deal with the first three columns. We did it a little different this year. Per the Constitution, we have to report to you the last fiscal year financial report, so that's why you see 2021 there, which was July 1st or June 30th, 2021 was last actual that we had, so you see that there and ended in the black with $16,000. This current year I don't want to say it's an anomaly, but you can see what the budget was. We budgeted a deficit of $24,509, and you look at that projected, and it's not a typo under the net income of $207,706. And I got to tell you, when I saw that back in September, I went to the school committee and said, don't let this out of the room. I got to triple check my numbers. I don't see how this can be right. Went back to them the next month and said, I'm still checking it out. It still looks good, but I'm not confident. Went to the deacons the following month and said, I'm sharing this with you guys, but please don't tell anybody. Here we are at the annual meeting, and I got to tell you, God has blessed the school. And so you look at this. Never in the history of the school have we seen this. But God is working mightily in our school. Our projected enrollment for this year was 140. We're actually at 159 or 160. So you ask, where did that extra money come from? It came from those extra 20 students. It also came from us not fully spending all of the salaries that were budgeted. It also came from EdChoice Scholarships. There's a state voucher program, the EdChoice Scholarships that are available. About 75% of our students are eligible for that and receive those. And so we're getting additional. More of our students are paying more tuition than we've ever had before. In the past, we used to scholarship families that we felt were a good fit, but they really couldn't afford the school. And so we would give out scholarships up to $80,000 throughout the year because we want to disciple this kid. They need a Christian education. And so we didn't have the cash in hand, but we knew we had a seat available. It didn't cost us anymore, so we would take what they could pay, and we would work through that with that family. And so we would scholarship up to $80,000. I think in this past year, we maybe gave out $10,000 in scholarships because these people who are needing the scholarships now qualify for the EdChoice, and for that we're getting $5,500 per student from the state for elementary and $6,000-something for high school students. So that's where that adjustment comes from. So you look at the bottom there, we started out with $62,000 in the projected general fund balance. We started out the fiscal school year at $62,465. We had budgeted a deficit for the year. We thought we can cover that deficit as we came to the congregation. But God has blessed, and we're looking at $270,000 in the general fund of the school. And so people are asking, that's not right. What are you going to do with that? And I would just propose that the school committee is working through that. The deacons are working through that. And there will be some assistance that, I mean, we're looking to rebuild the school. We know that staff-wise, we have asked a lot, an awful lot of our staff over the last 6 years. And so we're looking to hire additional staff. There's two or three new full-time positions included in next year's budget for that purpose. Our teachers do morning duty. They do lunch duty. They do dismissal duty. They do recess duty. They need a break from their students sometimes. And so this is now allowing us to get back to where we're more fully funded, where we're actually having teachers teach all the academics. So we're excited about that. So some of that money will be used for that. We talked about the endowment earlier. Some of that may go towards that. Again, we're not confident, but we're this is what's up for discussion. A third option is available is as we renovate the chapel. The school uses the chapel. If they've got some funds sitting there, maybe we can use some of those funds also to supplement what is needed for the chapel in that regard. So praise the Lord. I think it's probably going to end up being closer to 260 since this was published. There's some other expenses that have come up. And so about $260,250,000. You old folks around here, I can't believe it. So all we can do is say praise God for his faithfulness to the school. If you look at the last three columns there, the proposed budget, there's actually three budgets there. And in the past, it's very difficult because I work on this budget in January, and it goes to the school committee in January, and then it goes February to the deacons and March here. And it's really hard to guess what enrollment's going to be in August, in January. And so what we've done in the past is we'd have to come back and ask for a revised budget because now we've got 20 more students than we had before. We want to come back and do a revised budget. And as we work through that process, it isn't very efficient for the school committee and for the administrator and being able to hire appropriate staff if he's got to wait a month and a half to get the funding for another teacher that's needed. So we're doing three budgets there that we're asking to approve. As each of these benchmarks are met, that next budget would go into effect. So if we have 170 at the beginning of school, but by October 1st, we're at 180, that new budget would go into effect, and that would allow the administrator to hire the staff that's necessary, whether that's another teacher, a paraprofessional to help in the classrooms, or an aide to assist doing some of these other extra duties that are needed. Tuition, you can see, is listed there. You'll see a new line in the budget, which is matriculation at $51,000 for the 170 budget. Matriculation has always been kept separately from the general fund. It's not, I say it's off books, but it's been tracked, it's been accounted for, but it's never been really reported. And as I met with the school committee, I said, I just have a concern when we talk to our congregation and say we've got a good Christian school, they can look at the budget and say, well, you guys only spent $11,000 on program, which is your education. What are you doing? And so I think this really helps us to better analyze and for you guys to better understand the cost of running the Christian school. The matriculation comes from every student that is involved here that is enrolled pays $300 this year that will go towards paying matriculation. Matriculation covers those things such as a textbook. It covers consumables, those things that are very student-related. Consumables, every student from grade 3 through high school either has a Chromebook or a laptop. We put monitoring software on that. We have to pay a monthly fee for that. So it helps cover all of those things, matriculation. It's been an expense that we've had ever since the school started. It's just never really been reported back to the congregation. I asked the school committee, can we start including that in here? I think it gives us a much better, clearer picture of what Christian education is costing the school and where it's going. So you see that $51,000, obviously, as enrollment increases, that increases. And then you see that program expense, which then it relates to that. As I worked through the program expense, the principal, I said, I need to know what you need in textbooks next year. And based on that, they said, we think we need about $27,000 in new textbooks. Our textbooks are very dated, again, because matriculation hasn't kept up with that. And if there was a deficit in the matriculation fund, the general fund had to pay that off anyways. So this helps keep things clear. Again, gives a better picture of where we're at. Raises for and salaries and stipends there for personnel. Raises go from, it's about 6 to 7.25%. There is a 6% in base pay plus the experience increment that all of our returning teachers will get. So that's very similar to what the church is getting. The difference between these three budgets really is as you look at for every 10 students, matriculation increases, tuition increases, obviously. Program expenses would increase because that's based as calculation of enrollment. But it adds one additional full-time teacher and then some benefits. Again, so each additional teacher adds about $30,000 to the budget, $30,000 to $40,000 to the budget for each additional student, which we cover by that. So if we hit 170, that's pretty much a break-even budget. If we're looking at 180 or 190, we're looking to be in the black.
We had a motion and a second. Questions on the school budget? I'm over there.
Jen, hang over here.
Yeah. So I praise the Lord for the budget that we have and the money that's come in. I'm just for clarification, if you know the percentage that we're receiving from the government for the Ed Choice, because I have concerns that we become dependent on the government and then the rules change and then we're in trouble. And then my second question is, what are the dictates that come along with that money?
Those are two good questions and questions that the school committee has addressed and has looked at. The funds come no strings attached. It's used to pay tuition, so all the Ed Choice money, there are no strings attached. It's not like we can't teach those kids Bible. We can't integrate the Bible into it. Again, no strings attached. We would not take those funding if there was string attached. As I mentioned, I don't know what the funding is, but I can tell you about 75% of our students are involved in the Ed Choice program. If they would stop the Ed Choice program, yes, we would lose some students. We're also confident that some of those people who were previously paying full tuition would say Christian education is still important. We're going to suck it up and we're going to pay for tuition as needed. In addressing that, I think the viewpoint, in my viewpoint, and I think it's the same with the school committee, is as long as we can use these funds and there's no strings attached and we can continue to increase the enrollment of the school and can continue to disciple more children and assist Christian parents in raising their kids and training them in the Word of God, that we should take full advantage of that. Okay, follow up,
yeah. No strings attached also means no testing strings. Like, are we required to prepare them for the state test or for a test of our choosing?
I mean, the school administrator probably be able to better address that, but as a chartered school, we do fall underneath the third grade reading, whatever test it is. You're a public teacher, you know what those are. But yes, there are certain times that we have to take achievement tests. There are certain goals we have to meet, graduation goals and so forth, that are set by the state that since we are a chartered school, we are required to meet. But we would be required to meet those whether we accepted Ed Choice or not.
Right.
But we're not required to test them on evolutionary science, for example, but with the state money, if they take the state test, then they are being asked those types of questions on
my,
the state
my
test.
Understanding is there's some leeway in achievement testing and in this testing that we give that we can choose. We don't have to use the state testing, that we can go and use the ACSI test, or there's another test out there that we can use and that is accepted by the state when it comes to meeting those goals. kind of getting down into the weeds on these questions.
I like it.
But it's good for you guys. Good for you to know.
Any other questions? One here.
Jen Fisher.
Well, let's get, yeah.
Oh, somebody
and then
back
we'll
here?
Get Jen F.
Oh,
Jen,
Barb McDonald.
After that. Yep, Barb.
Yeah, with the school struggling over the years and stuff, how are our teachers and our staff, have we been paying them enough? And I just want to make sure that we're looking at best practices,
yeah,
and making sure that they're paid adequately.
Yeah.
Since we seem to have a surplus.
Yeah, we would love to be able to pay our teachers what a public school teacher makes. As I work through the budget, we do analyze what is a Christian school of our size and our demographic area being paid. And we are within those boundaries. So if I look at the ACSI, what they recommend for a school of our size and our area, metropolitan area, we're within those guidelines. We are working diligently. You know, as I said, there's a 6% increase. We increased the student teacher base by $1,500. We're really trying diligently to get that up to a starting of 30,000. It's not quite there. And maybe next year we'll be able to push that. We don't know if this anomaly will continue, that there's a large excess in the general fund. But, yes, we are doing our best to take care of our teachers. Would love to be able to pay them the equivalent of a public school if we could. And then Jen Fisher.
I'm on. I don't mean to be bold, but actually what Barb was saying was something that was on my heart. We have a surplus at the school. I would just like to propose that maybe a bonus would be nice to be given to our teachers, and I would just like to put that on the table.
I would say, if we're going to go according to Roberts, I would need an amount, or if you would like to maybe amend that motion to say you'd like the school committee to come up with some type of bonus, and we could then report that. Which would you like to do in terms of that? Without an amount, I don't know if I can do a full proposed motion there.
Is there 25 staff members, faculty members for the school? I don't know exactly how many there are, but if you gave them $1,000 or you gave them $1,500, it would just be a small portion of that $270,000. I just would be interested in
if you want to do an amount, then
I'm not
I'm not trying to make it hard.
If I could recommend, because there's a lot of working parts of that, if you could just ask the school committee, make a recommendation, ask the school committee to go back and evaluate that, I could work with them, and we could come back to the congregation, we could just authorize that, because it comes down to some are part-time, some are full-time, some are hourly. How does that all work out? So if you just say, everybody should get $2,000, well,
right. I understand that.
I don't know where to go with that. So
no, I understand
if we could ask
that.
The school
so
committee,
yes, then I would ask the school committee to look into that and consider that for our staff.
Okay. Is it okay if we do that without making that an official motion? Can the school committee come back with the special business meeting? Would that be okay? That's
my approval, yes, that's fine.
Yeah. I've got Jen Fisher's approval. This is going to get done. All right, very good. Any other questions concerning school budget? Yes.
You just...
Work-a-thon.
They're running down with the microphone.
Hold on, we got a mic coming.
Is it on?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just curious about the amount that comes in for the work-a-thon. That seems like a very large amount.
Mm-hmm.
Is that from the letters that we receive from students and so on, that we actually bring in that much money?
Yeah, if you look at this year's budget, it was $13,000. We actually brought in $12,550.
Okay.
So I thought with the proposed increase, that we would probably be able to reach the $18,000.
Okay. I was just curious about that because that mm-hmm. seems like a the very kids, generous amount.
The kids do a great job of raising
Thank
that
you.
Support.
Thank you.
Question down front here.
Ken Kincaid, Sam's running up here.
Earlier, does that need need a second?
No, she did. I asked her. She just made it a, can we get back to you, and she approved that. Yep, thank you. That follows Roberts dead on, I'm sure. All right, I'm calling for a vote. If you would please indicate on there, yes, I'm in favor, or no, I'm not in favor on the school budget. We have one last item here concerning the deacon vote. Generally speaking, there are usually four that we are voting for at this time. There are a couple of factors in terms of this. Different years, they have different things. Question? Yes.
I didn't want to have to ask a question tonight, but I noticed that when Pastor Parker's report, he talked about the choir and about the worship team, but there was really no mention of the organ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested whether there's a desire and a plan to make that organ an integral part of the church service again, or is it just going to be partially used? And I'm also interested in whether we're going to have people that used to do special music in this church start doing that again. And I'm wondering what the choir seems to be sort of a hit and miss situation right now. So I'm interested in those three things and what we're going to do about it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Would you like me to deal with that now, or can we have the deacon ballot go, and then could I address that? Would that be all right, Glenn? All right. Let's go with a motion. It's not a motion. It is a ballot there. As I said, we usually have four. This year, we are voting for six. The reasons for that are, remember last year, Derek Wilcox came off, and so Jeff Rising then was the next person that was on, so he came on till the end of that term. So that is one vote there. And the second one is this last year, at the end of the year there, Brother Finke felt that God's plan was for him to no longer serve on the deacon board and interact with the deacons. They said, why don't we hold off until the next deacon election, since that was coming up. So you have six. You may vote for six there on that deacon ballot. So I'd encourage you to mark and indicate six that you are voting for there. And this is the end of that ballot. So if you want to fold that in half after you've done this and put it down the middle aisle, we'll collect those. You know, when you have one meeting a year, whew. You know, when I went over to Niles, they had quarterly business meetings. I was like, oh, that's going to be the worst. But I have also kind of come to realize that having just one annual meeting makes that we have a lot of stuff to deal with in that. And so I appreciate your patience in terms of that. I do also want to let you know, I think I've told you this from the very beginning. You guys do know where my office is, correct? It's that direction. Okay, you got to get past Jen Berman, but she's kind of a pushover. Also, you know how to get a hold of me. So if you have questions and that type of thing, I would encourage you to definitely get a hold of me. In fact, I would say, Brother Carey, even this area that you are bringing up is an area that I've had a lot of discussion, a lot of interaction, and a lot of people coming to me and asking. And I want to tell you, thank you. Because from the beginning, I've said, hey, I want to encourage you to come and talk to me so you can hear my heart and understand where I'm at in terms of some of these areas. And this is one that's come up a lot, and I've had a lot of back and forth in terms of, should this be something that just needs to be, hey, let's just, everybody should hear where you're at, Pastor Dave, or is this something that I, as a pastor, should say I want to talk with people individually? And my answer to that is, there's pros and cons on both sides. There are definitely pros, and the folks that have come in I've been able to interact with, and so the cons are not everybody hears that. The pros of having just a big discussion about that in here also means that there may not be enough time to, let's be honest, if I'm going to talk about the organ and special music and choir, that means that there's probably going to be a lot of questions that come up as a result of that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to discuss and try to address those three issues. And then as we have an opportunity to interact, I would encourage you to get a hold of me, but I think it's good for you to hear my heart in terms of this. First, the question came up from Brother Simmons and also Brother Carey in terms of our organ being integrated here. For those that have come in and talked to me and those who know me, the organ is near and dear to my heart. There has not been any concerted effort to remove the organ. I would encourage you to pray about what we have and the instrumentation that we have and having someone to play the organ. We love having the organ as a part of our ministry here. The organ is an amazing, beautiful instrument. God has designed it to do what no other instrument can do. My sister-in-law, Amy, did an organ concert, and if you know anything about organ concerts, there's nothing else. It's the organ. The organ can play every and any instrument. And it's a wonderful instrument. And my goal and intention is that for it to be a part of our worship ministry as long as I am the pastor here. However, our ministry here and our worship ministry here has a lot more people involved in terms of instrumentation and things like that. So that means that the organ is not the full beginning to end, full throttle instrument that it used to be. One of the things that I have encouraged, since he's not here, I can say it. When I came in, I told Pastor Parker, when I come in here, I want to be able to hear every instrument up there, and I don't want it to be too loud so I cannot hear the congregation. That's been my heart very much from the beginning. Is there some disagreement on whether or not that is the proper way to use the organ? I have been given a resounding, yeah, that not everybody agrees with how that is the way to use the organ. I have had those that I've tried to interact with that know the organ very well, that have shown appreciation for, I'm wanting to try to continue to use the organ, and I want to use it there. So I would encourage you to pray. We want to use the organ. It is not the same way that it was used back when all we had was organ and piano. God has blessed us with a wonderful worship ministry here and multiple instrumentation. But for those of you that may be saying, it seems like Pastor Dave came in here and got rid of the organ, I'm just going to tell you very clearly, never asked anyone to stop playing the organ, and I never will. I want the organ to be a part of this worship. Not everybody agrees exactly with every level of instrumentation. I am not Pastor Odell, and I am not Pastor Quick. But I also know some of the concerns have been, well, we're just going contemporary. And really, all I can tell you is the same thing I've said from the very beginning. I know what you're talking about. As I've seen even my peers my age take churches in certain directions, I've been very disturbed by the direction that people have gone in terms of worship. I don't like the way that people take worship too far to turn it into a show and to turn it into that type of thing. And that is my prayer that we do not do that. So my prayer is that the organ would continue to be a part of this, even though that organ integration is a little bit different than it has been in the past. In terms of special music, I believe, first, I've set some goals out there for Pastor Parker in terms of trying to integrate some of our special music with our choir, with our current instrumentation, not as much in terms of background tracks. Again, I am not the same as the last couple of pastors. I believe special music should be special, not regular. And there are times that I've gone to Pastor Parker when we have special services. There are times that special music applies directly to that. There have been a couple times that said, hey, I really think this song would be wonderful. Is there someone you know that may be able to do that? And all this has happened as we've been reintegrating the worship back in. So in response to that, maybe the best thing I could say is our special music is special, but not a regularly scheduled type of thing. It will fit the flow of what are the individual ministries, what are the individual days of worship, and to take better advantage of those in the times we have special services, like a Palm Sunday, like a full communion, like Christmas, like Easter, and all those different things, like a Memorial Day service and things like that. And in terms of the choir, I think I speak for Dan Parker and myself, which is if we're able to have the choir 4 times a month or every service, I hope that we're able to do that. Getting choir back in, we did not have nearly as many people as Pastor Parker thought there was going to be at that time. And also, to generally speaking, to have full choir every week available takes a ton of practice and takes a ton of months and months of practice. And so this first time around with a limited amount of people, and sometimes even the first couple of weeks not really having a lot of people and having a limited practice time, we're not quite there yet. But the goal is always to have a choir be a part of that and to be a regular part of that. I know where this church has stood. I know who we are. And I know it's not the same. But I do not believe it is violating Scripture. I do not want to go down a contemporary path. And my goal is for us to do things well, biblically. And I will also say this. Each of these things that you have heard me say only go towards one direction. And that is, I believe more people involved is better than less people involved. So when there's a congregation singing, I want to hear you sing. I do not want any instrumentation to be. And when we have multiple people being accompanists, I want to hear all of that. And when the choir is singing, I want to hear the choir sing. And my prayer is that more and more and more people will be involved, and we will handle this in a godly manner, and we will also stay true to where this church has stood. But that does not mean we stay where church has stood and never have any motion in terms of what we have done. I sat with a pastor in the past talking about, I was here for the first, I think pretty close to one of the first handheld mic things that we did, and it was controversial. And from what my understanding is of the past of this church is split over having a choir, not having a choir, over having an organ and not having an organ, and over a couple of other things. And so my prayer is that we do what God has called us to do, and that Satan does not allow a difference in preferences to hurt this church. So pray for me, pray for us, pray for ourselves as a congregation, that we will stay true to the word, that we will not compromise, but that also, you've heard me say for the first time I was here, we also understand what it means to be generational. I don't know if that has answered those questions, Glenn, Brother Carey, but I do appreciate it, because you know what? It was probably time for it to come up. So thank you. Yes. Follow up.
Just a question then. So to get the organ going again, we just need someone to play it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep.
And if we do that, we'll institute the organ again?
Yeah. There was a question here.
Hey, brother.
Hey.
This is personal. Having grown up in a Grace Brethren Church, coming to a Baptist church, the way that I feel God gifted, one of the gifts he's given me and the way he's gifted others has been by special music. It is more than just the singing that day. It's the preparation that week. It's the time spent with my children doing it. I feel snuffed out. I think there's a lot of people that were using their gifts that aren't now. I don't think it's for selfish reasons. I know it's a case-by-case basis, but I just wanted to let everyone know how I feel about that.
Thank you. And please, Brother Alba, please allow me to take that into consideration. What I want to make sure that I never do is say, I've made a decision, this is where we stay, no longer will we change. Thank you. All right. We're going to end on a good note, even though we are way overdue. We have not had a right hand of fellowship in a long time, like since I've been here. And we're not going to do a right hand of fellowship. We might do a right hand of wave of fellowship. And for those that came tonight to be a part of this meeting, and I'm sorry I asked you to come tonight, but we're going to have to do this anyway. So we put up a list of those who are new members. So those who have hung on till the end here, I want to have everyone who is on this list that happens to be here to come down front. Josiah Alba, Crystal Allen, I'm not going to read off the list. If your name is up there on the list, come on, kids. Yes, kids, start first, and then drag your parents with you. I want you all to come down front down here. And the reason we were going to end this way is because we haven't done right hand of fellowship, and because we haven't done anything like that, we need to be reminded of the people that God has added to this church. Right hand of fellowship used to be a time of celebration and thanksgiving for all that God has done. So, man, this is a good-looking group. The average age has just dropped tremendously. Sometimes when there's a bunch of numbers and even just a list of names, we don't get to see faces. So I want you to put your eyes on some faces down here. We want to let all of you know we are so glad that you're a part of this church. Oh, they're continuing to come. That's why we have the little ones out in the foyer. I want you, if you paid attention to the report, I know you've read it thoroughly. I asked you to do two things. One is to find someone you know and re-reach out and encourage them. But the other thing I asked you to do is to prayerfully ask God to connect you up with someone who is a part of this church you don't know. and to reach out to them and encourage them and fellowship with them. And maybe you do know everybody up here. If you do, I'm impressed. But God continues to add to this church, and we are very thankful for these folks that are here. Now, we're not going to make them shake all your hands, but I think we should just give them a warm welcome to our church here. Usually at a right hand of fellowship, we say something like this: well, I want to let you all know we are thrilled you are here, and our prayer is that this is the place you will grow and your families will grow as this church family grows. So this is a good way to finish a long annual business meeting, is to be reminded God is doing great things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here together tonight. Lord, I thank you for these folks we see down front here. And Lord, there are a lot of them that were not able to be here tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the way that you are adding to our church. Lord, may we take seriously the responsibility that we have to go and make disciples. Lord, I love seeing the young people, and I love seeing the ones who are not so young here that are still becoming a part of this church. May this be a place that they have the opportunity to serve, to grow, to be fed the word, to grow. And Lord, even some of the new areas that are coming up here ahead. Lord, I thank you for our time together here tonight. I thank you for this church family. Lord, may we love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, the way that brothers and sisters in Christ are supposed to love each other. And Lord, I pray that we will give you the glory in the way that we, as a body of believers, handle the word, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, and grow as disciples. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do need a motion to dismiss. Kenny Kincaid's always first on there. All those in favor, signify by standing up. Amen. Please get out of the building before they turn the lights off.